98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doug and Wolf,
giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL insider John Clayton.
Mom, when's dinner?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet, serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
We've got our own Friday NFL insider that we've talked to for years on Friday mornings. And if you didn't know, it all dates back to a fruit basket, I think it was, that John Clayton delivered to Ron Wolfley.
That's right.
Delivered to Ron Wolfley for Ron Wolfley accomplishing something in your career. Good job, Wolf.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Johnny. Still, even to this day.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Johnny, do you remember what that was, honestly?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, on a special teams play, you took out Brian Bosworth.
Yeah,
absolutely. And by taking out Brian Bosworth, I mean, it ended the pain of trying to cover the Bos. Of course, so all the guys in the media chipped in and tried to take care of you for taking care of us.
Boy, that was a long, long time ago, Johnny.
That's how long the relationship has been. John Clayton joins us every Friday at 7:30. Okay, Steve Keim's coming up right after you. You know the way you have to answer this question in the media. There's no way Baker Mayfield has any effect whatsoever on the Arizona Cardinals. But you've been covering the league since 72. You know what it's like when there's hype. And this, I don't know if it's going to end up being the 84 draft or anything, but the quarterbacks and the pub Darnold got in week one for his performance, maybe negative on Josh Allen, but still the Buffalo Bills fans are happy that he's there. Now the hype of Baker Mayfield coming off the bench, leading the Browns to their first victory. Is there any chance, with all your years in the media, that you would say, yes, teams, maybe not the Cardinals, look at their surroundings and say, I want some of that. Does that expedite the Rosen process at all?
I mean, I think the thought goes in there, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be the execution of that in going to it. Because think about the reality of it. Okay, now, it was a typical Cleveland Brown game in the sense that here they were playing Sam Darnold. Okay, now Sam Darnold is, you can see, they put him in an unfair position because he's out there playing three games in 11 days. I mean, he gets a Thursday night game after a Sunday game where basically he gets no prep, and I think you can see the problems that it caused. And so that first game has started to dwindle down to a point now where he's basically becoming a 50% thrower and getting less than 20 points. And so the danger of trying to rush a quarterback is that, yeah, he may have that initial success, but then he may start to drop back. And that very well may happen with Baker Mayfield. But where I say it was a typical Browns game, here's Tyrod Taylor out there, and he was not getting anything done. And they were trailing. And so Darnold had the lead, and then they get the injury, the concussion on Taylor, and Baker Mayfield comes in, and because you don't have much of a scouting report on him, he comes in and does some great, really good things. He energized the team. He moved the football. He gets the plays. He gets the Philly special that they don't want to call the Philly special. All those things go well, but the danger of doing that is that you put him in, and all of a sudden it starts drifting back if you're trying to rush him. But I think at this moment, he's probably going to continue to play because for Taylor, that's his third concussion in about a year, and so I think that there's a chance that Mayfield gets the keep the job, and we'll see where it goes.
Johnny, just for the record, once again, remind me, why did you and the national media think the Arizona Cardinals were going to struggle again? Why was that?
Well, we thought that there was going to be some offensive woes because, I mean, the changes that were there at the receiving core, was there going to be enough at the receiving core? Was the offensive line going to be good? Were they going to be good enough with Sam Bradford? I think, where everybody so far has been a little bit off, we thought they were going to be better on defense, and that hasn't shown so far in the first couple games, but I think that when everybody was kind of picking everything and they were saying probably 6 or 7 wins, and right now this team has to perform much better to get the 6 or 7 wins.
You're exactly right about that. So let's ask the painful question, since you bring a national perspective to our Cardinals. Are the Arizona Cardinals the worst team in the NFL?
They are not, no. No, the Buffalo Bills are, because you can look at the Bills and you can see that they only have 15 players on their 53-man roster that they drafted. I mean, they've chased away so much good talent, they put themselves in such a bad position. I mean, they trade. Remember, this is their decision. They trade their left tackle, Cordy Glenn, to Cincinnati. Mm. He's done well there. They really have not done a good job of replacing Eric Woods, who had the neck injury at center. And then, of course, they just have weird things happen. They had the weirdest 12-minute halftime I could imagine because, Vontae Davis retires, takes off his uniform and puts his clothes on and walks out, and then they take the play calling ability away from Leslie Frazier. I mean, that's 12 dynamic minutes. So no, I'd say that the Bills are last, and you can start to make an argument maybe the Detroit Lions might be 31st in the league.
Okay. Johnny, what can you tell us about Reuben Foster and his return?
Well, I think you're going to see a spark on that defense because they're really needed at the linebacking position because that's one of their thinnest spots. I mean, you know, they go into the season. Malcolm Smith gets hurt with a hamstring in the first game, an outside linebacker. He just is getting back this week. Now they get Foster back, who I think most people thought as they watched the team last year, he was their best player, and he missed games and all that stuff, and their defense wasn't the same. So he gets back. And so I think you're going to see a little bit of a spark on their defense, which was much needed because, you know, they're thin. I mean, people were picking on the other side of Richard Sherman and having success. They aren't getting the pass rush and they're starting to get disappointed with their defensive linemen. But now I think they get a spark with Reuben Foster coming back.
John, when should Rosenthal start?
I would think the Rosenthal should start if there's a concession that this is going to be a bad season. And that probably comes by week 7 or 8. You know, if the team's sitting there at 2-6, then I think that's going to be the timetable. You know, injuries play into it. I mean, who knows? Performance plays into it. But I have to think that you need to go half the season before rushing a quarterback. But you know each week that everybody's going to be pushing to get Josh Rosen in.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, when's the last time the Seattle Seahawks were 0-2?
Four times since Pete Carroll's had two road trips to open up a season.
Whoa.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's every time they open up with two road games, they tend to go 0-2. So I guess four times now since 2010.
That's stunning.
Cardinals have problems. Do the Seahawks have more problems, even though they've looked a little better? What's going on in Seattle?
I still contend they're a better team, but they have more problems right now because what's going on is that they just can't get any. And again, they have so many young guys and new guys. I mean, they opened the season with six rookies or first-year players playing 25 plays or more in the game. Then last week, I mean, they had a completely new linebacking core. I mean, here's how crazy it was. Austin Calitro started for Bobby Wagner. I'm sure you've always spoke well of Austin Calitro. And then
Wagner, yes.
Yeah, but then they had to take Michael Kendricks, you know, who has the insider trading plea guilty.
Yeah. Yes.
And they got him on the field at weak side linebacker in literally two practices, you know, after they found out that they're not going to have KJ Wright. Then they didn't have their starting cornerback Trey Flowers, who was a rookie, so they had to put Akeem King, who was on the practice squad in week one. He was out there at that spot. And then, you know, Will Disley, the rookie has now moved into the starting lineup. They still didn't have DJ Fluker. They couldn't figure out what they were doing at running back because Chris Carson, they said, thought was tired from special teams play. And then what happened with him was that he only had two special teams plays, so I don't know what he was tired about. To get room for more special teams, they had to cut their starting defensive tackle, Tom Johnson. He ended up going to the Minnesota Vikings, and now they go into this week. They may not have Justin Britt, probably won't have him with a shoulder injury, and they probably won't have Ethan Posick, their left guard, because of an ankle injury. It's pretty much a mess.
John Clayton, NFL Insider, our very own, every Friday morning at 7:30. Thank you, JC. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.